We are. Let's just close our eyes, and I want you to focus on the Lord this morning, but also want you to focus on your journey with the Lord in this last couple of weeks. I want us to take stock of what is happening in our minds and our souls before we're going to get into this. So let's just meditate on the Lord, and I want you to, whatever you brought in here today, not your kids, but like emotion-wise or pain-wise, whatever. I really feel like we said God wants to release a sense of freedom over us this morning. So whatever you came in with, and it could be anything like financial stuff, stuff that you're trusting the Lord for, whatever it is, like, I really felt this morning that we sometimes are scared to bring the things before the Lord because we think God already knows. God knows about it, but He wants us to bring that things before Him. So as Nicole ministers, I want you to speak life over whatever you're feeling at the moment. Jesus, we thank you that you are here, Lord Father. Thank you. In the intercession this morning, felt that God wants to give you new clothes. He wants to take, I saw like a muddy picture of a person sitting and walking in this mud, and really filthy clothes, and God wants to give you new clothing this morning, a new identity. I also want you to make a choice this morning, because to have faith is a choice. God has given us the grace, but you still have to decide, are you going to believe in the faith? Are you going to walk in faith, or are you going to walk in emotions or feelings? Okay, so this morning is a bit like different. I did prepare, so but I might go on some rabbit trails. So if you take notes this morning, if you're going to look at your notes afterwards, it might look a bit yemakar. We might go up and down, but I really want to trust the Lord this morning, and whatever God places on my heart, I want to say it, and I want to be obedient to the Lord. But I first want to share a testimony. Okay, I first want to boast in the Lord, because the word says, "Don't boast in anything, but boast in the Lord." And like my boasting in the Lord is my salvation and my journey with the Lord for 9 years. And this morning, I really felt like God has taken me from darkness into light, from being blind to now see, from being deaf to now hear. And I was at a really dark place in my life where the only outcome was either to commit suicide, or the other outcome was to really give my life to the Lord. Like, before I gave my life to the Lord, there was a lot of other options to consume. And I always said, the last thing I'll ever do is I'll give my life to the Lord. So it came to that point where the last thing was to give my life to the Lord. And I really radically got a sense of like freedom after the Lord has set me free. But it still had to come down to me to make a decision that I want to fully what I have, I want to give it to the Lord this morning. At the time, well, that's why I said this morning when we were sitting, to really what you have, give it to the Lord, because I feel God wants to take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Not meant to stay the same. Like if you go back and you look at your journey with the Lord, if you've stayed the same for the last two years, if you've been struggling with same thing the last 2 years, the last year, like that is not God's plan or our heart. He wants us to be transformed into His image. He wants us to every day look like Him, walk like Him. Like, I daily tell myself, I'm a son of God. Like I daily have to remind myself, like, I'm a son of God. God loves me. Like, that's my go-to. But this morning, I want to share a bit on faith, the path of faith. And I want to share a testimony that I listened to in the week. So my job is basically to look after all the Dis-Chems and Click stores in the Western Cape. So I do drive a lot. So my only like thing to sort of keep me awake is to listen to something with like significance and something that really is important. So I listen to a lot of podcasts and testimonies and worship and all this stuff. So if you want to spend a day in my car, it will be very interesting. You're welcome to do that. But I listened to a testimony in the week about a guy that was, he went to prison. I'm not going to share the whole thing, but after prison, he gave his life to the Lord and he started a business. And he said his business for probably, I think it was like for 3 years, was very, very, very tough. And people normally make it in business, I think it's a 2 or 3 years, then if it doesn't work out, then it most probably won't work out. But he spoke about your tongue that is rather, and whatever you proclaim with your mouth, that will be. And in his bank account, like, it was obviously now an American guy, so he had pounds, so let's say he had £800 in his bank account for his business. Ach, sorry, dollars. My bad, thank you, Dion. Kan jy dalk hier voor sit? Net vir geval daar nog verkeerde currencies uitkom. So he had like $800 in his bank account, but in his mind he said, I'm going to put his 2 zeros like and 3 zeros on it every time. So every time he looks at his bank account, he's like, okay, I want to do it as well. Like he's going to add more zeros. And he's proclaiming it, like he's looking at his bank account and he's like adding zeros, zeros, zeros. And after 3 months of doing it every single day, his $800 business went to a $15 million business by just really proclaiming and having faith for it. I don't even know why I'm sharing this story, but I feel like God has a grace for the business people that's in our church. Like God really, sometimes in my quiet time, I feel like God is really for the business people in the church. So, with that being said, I want all the people that is in business or has their own business to stand up. I said this is going to be authentic this morning, so. So I want the people that's standing around them to lay hands on them and really pray for a release in their finances. Because with that finances, they will be able to bless other people and ultimately they will bless the church. So I'm going to give us 3 minutes to really speak a blessing and release the floodgates over their business. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay. So my sermon title is The Path of Faith. And I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but if I ask you, what is your faith tank like at the moment from 1 to 10? You can obviously make a decision in your mind of what that is. But faith for me is, and I've been journeying with faith this last couple of months. Faith is not supposed to be easy. Sometimes it is easy because you walk in faith or you see someone that walks in faith. And in a sense, it looks easy, but I feel faith sometimes needs to be scary because the Bible says it's something you're hoping for that you do not see. So sometimes when you hope for something that you don't see it, I mean, are you not supposed to be scared when you don't see anything? But this morning I want us to let your mind go. And when I say faith, it doesn't always relate to finances. I think when we think of faith, we think of finances. I really felt to pray for the people that has their own business in church this morning, because like I said, God really, I have a soft spot for like people that has their own business in the church for some reason. And the gospel is meant to be simple. If you have your Bible here, it's not on the slides. I just got this verse this morning. It's in 2 Corinthians 11 verses 1-4 that says, and this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church saying, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I've betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So you can see that Paul really has a love for the people, and he's like so jealous about the people that he's saying, like, he's jealous that they would follow other gods and follow other idols. And he says, but I fear lest somehow the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. That's my message this morning, is the simplicity in Christ. Like, I don't, whenever I preach or whenever I spend time with God, I really don't try to complicate things in my mind. Like, it's either white or black for me. So when I spend time with the Lord, it goes down to the simplicity that is in Christ. Because I feel we sometimes are so trapped in our minds because we're thinking of a lot of things and we try to reason with ourselves. But Paul says, like, the serpent deceives us by his craftiness, and this craftiness is to overthink in our minds. And the gospel is meant to be simple. I really feel a 6-year-old, maybe a 5-year-old, maybe a 2-year-old supposed to understand this. That's how simple the gospel is. And when it comes to faith, and the reason I shared that verse is faith is actually very simple. Like, it's simple to have faith. Like, I actually don't want to pray that you may have faith, because you already have faith. It'll actually be a, almost one of, this is just me, but it will be a pointless prayer to say, like, Stephanie, have more faith, because God already has given us faith. Through his grace, he's given us faith. All we have to do is make a decision to have faith. And how you make a decision is you proclaim it, you say, Lord, I have faith that this will happen. That's your faith. And then you believe it. So that's how I see faith, and that's the simplicity for me. And I think faith is so vital to us as Christians. Like, I mean, the Bible says don't walk by sight, walk by faith. So basically what Jesus is saying is don't walk by emotions, walk by faith. Like, sight, don't walk by what you see, but walk by faith. And how I know this is whenever you have a Sunday service, like, you are full of faith now, and you wake up tomorrow morning and poof, that faith is gone. Right? Like, you're feeling now, you're feeling like, I'm faithful, but when I wake up, it's like all over again. And that's why the Bible says walk by faith, not by sight, not by emotions. So when you wake up tomorrow morning and you've got, let's say you've got your business and you've got things to do or whatever, then you say, like, the Lord, I'm walking in faith. Like, I done a marathon last weekend, which was really, like, difficult. And for me, through the whole journey, like, I mean, it was almost 3 hours, 50 minutes. It was 54 minutes, but I took a 4-minute bathroom break, so it's minus the 4 minutes. So for me, I, like, had a new revelation on how powerful your tongue is, like, when you are in a situation. Like, I'm, like, it's just running, in a sense, but for me, that was like, God really showed me that by proclaiming that this is what you're going to do and you can do it. Like, I'm taking that sort of what I learned, lessons, like, even into, like, having faith. Like, faith is literally a choice. Like, you decide you want to have faith. No one can decide for you. You have to say, Lord, I've got faith. Like I said, every single day, I'm like, I'm a son of God. My identity is in the Lord. That is my daily, like, go-to. Because the enemy tries to, like it says, with his craftiness, he tries to take away our identity in the Lord. The other thing about faith, and we're going to go through it later, is that we are so fortunate to live in a day and age where we can actually have this faith. I'm going to go to it now. Keep it in your mind. Because if you look at the Old Testament, mankind has tried to receive faith by doing a lot of works. So it was a lot of work-driven things to actually obtain faith. Like, if you look at the Old Testament, you had to complete 613 laws and 10 commandments. And it was a lot about works, like trying to be perfect and doing things to obtain this faith that I want to speak to you about. In Hebrews 11:1, says, every time I read this, it's like new for me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not yet seen. So what stands out for me is faith and substance. This is the only substance abuse that you are allowed as a Christian. In other words, faith in Greek, it means, I think, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, so if you are Greek somehow, I apologize. I think it says pistis, or pisti, or pistis. Any Greek people here can help me? No one? Okay. We'll just have to go on that. In other words, it means moral conviction, dependence upon Christ for salvation, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So faith is not about you. Faith has nothing to do with you. It's all about Jesus. It's the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. It's an assurance. It's a belief. It's being reliance. And it's to have fidelity in something, to be faithful to someone. And then I want to take a look at substance as well. Substance means sitting under. So faith is the substance. So you are sitting under faith. It's a assurance of something that will happen. It's a confidence in something. The real physical matter of which a person or thing consists and which has a tangible, solid presence. So faith is a gift of God. It's something that you have been given. As soon as you said yes to the Lord, you had your faith. Like, you are supposed to be a person of faith because you've been given faith. Like, I know sometimes, like, I'm still guilty of it. You look at someone and you're like, yo, they've got great faith, but they just decided to have faith. And God wants us all to decide this morning that you're either going to walk in faith, you're not going to walk in faith. So, like I said, I'm sort of like a black and white decision to choose faith or no faith. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." So it's again, faith is so important. It's by God's grace. The word grace means, for me, it means the divine, I'm going to say it slowly, the divine inspiration of God upon your heart and the outward reflection of God upon your life. So it sounds like a really difficult thing to say, but it means that it's the divine inspiration of God upon your heart. And the outward reflection is like, that's why we say, yes, Corpus has a lot of grace on his life, because it's the divine inspiration of God upon his heart. And the outward reflection is basically a person that has a lot of grace. And the thing about grace is, you don't need it when your finances are low, or you need it obviously, but you don't always need it in difficult times. Like even if things are going good, even if you don't have any trouble in life, you still need grace. You still need to walk in that divine inspiration. Like, I think we tend to sometimes just go to, Lord, have grace on Stephen, things aren't going too great. But Lord, have grace on Stephen, things are going amazing. It is the gift of God, not of works. You can't do anything to obtain this faith. You have to decide that you are walking in faith. You don't have to earn the faith. You don't have to be Jesus' blue-eyed boy or whatever. You just have to walk in faith. I think the blue-eyed boys really enjoy that one. If you're smiling, I know you're one of them. Like a Carlu. So, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So by this verse, you sort of see a unity, or like an intertwined relationship between grace and faith. They sort of walk hand in hand and they go together. And if you release your faith, the grace accompanies you. Like, there is a benefit to choose faith, because if you choose faith, it says you have been saved through faith. You've been saved for grace. You have been saved through faith. So to have faith means that you're actually inviting this divine inspiration upon your life. Faith also is giving your desire to God. Like, we all walked in here with a certain need, if I can say it that way, a certain something you're going through. And faith ultimately is saying, Lord, I'm placing this under your feet. I'm placing this in your hands. Like, I normally, when I'm trusting the Lord for something, I literally don't even speak about it. And Nandi sometimes doesn't like it when I don't speak about something. But I literally put it in the Lord's hands and I leave it. So I completely forget about it. Obviously, there's still things you have to put in place. But I tend to really just leave it at the Lord. And I decide, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Like, and I don't do it because I want a good outcome. I'm doing it because I'm deciding. And that is faith. You're putting something in the master's hands and you have no control over it. You don't know if it's going to be good. Okay, it's obviously going to be good because God is a good God. But what I'm trying to say is you don't know how long it will take. You might not even be alive. And whatever you gave to the Lord might manifest in the generations after you. Faith is giving your desire to God, pure heart to God, giving it all to God, walking by faith, living by faith, and releasing faith. God is bigger than the struggle that you walk in if you decide to live by faith. I mean, if you look at Peter, he walked on water. Like, they had to take some sort of faith to walk on water. And for me, and we hear this a lot, but that's the picture of faith also, is walking on water and completely focusing on the Lord. So how do we get confident in our faith? Like, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So if we don't get into the Lord, our faith tank will be low. One of my favorite things in the Bible is the wall of faith in Hebrews 11. I just want to read this to us. I think it's up there as well. By faith, Abel presented to God a sacrifice more acceptable than his brother Cain's. By faith, Noah respected God's warning regarding the flood, the likes of which no one had ever seen. I mean, imagine Noah building an ark. That's faith. You don't know if the water is coming or not, but you're completely saying, Lord, I've got faith that the water is coming. Amen? By faith, Abraham heard God's call to travel to a place, again, by faith, you'd one day receive as an inheritance. And he obeyed, not knowing where God's call would take him. By faith, Isaac spoke blessing upon his sons Jacob and Esau concerning things yet not to come. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, not knowing what's going to come, what's going to happen to him. By faith, the walls of Jericho toppled after the people had circled them for 7 days, yet not knowing if the walls would fall. By faith, the prostitute Rahab welcomed the Hebrew spies into her home so that she did not perish with the unbelievers. By faith, Abraham's wife Sarah became fertile because she believed God would be faithful to his promise. I think the thing that gets us a lot when it comes to faith is obviously the enemy, right? So this is the enemies of faith for me. This is for me, like, the enemies of faith. This is like, you can take something out of this. You can decide you've got your own enemies. But for me, this is the biggest enemies that stops me from having faith. First of all, I think you can all relate with me, is fear, which basically means false evidence appearing real. I heard the story of a guy that took a plane to Cuba, and in his box he had a box and a soap in the box. So on the plane, he's shaking the box and he's saying to the pilot, this bomb is going to blow up if you don't go to a certain place. And the pilot was, shucks, he has a bomb, he's going to go to that place, otherwise something's going to happen. afterwards they arrested the guy and they figured out that when they opened the box there was soap in it. And that's for me is exactly what the enemy does and exactly what fear is. The evidence of a bomb appearing to be real, but it's actually bathing soap in a box. Second is our identity. The enemy tries to catch us here when it comes to faith. Things that he says is, oh, you're silly, it's not faith, that's not going to happen. Who are you to have faith? Third is our authority in Christ. Because God has given us authority as believers to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. The fourth one is our failure to understand righteousness. Fifth one is not understanding our right to use the name of Jesus. I love the song that we sang this morning about his name. Like, the enemy is under his name. And standing there at the back, I was like, sure. Like, man, we're actually supposed to celebrate. Like, it's so powerful to say that the enemy is under your feet. Your finances, your anxiety, your whatever you're facing is under your feet. And that is the simplicity. Like, the enemy is under our feet. The enemy is under our feet. That's what it says. And that's so powerful. And the enemy tries to, we're just singing the song, the enemy is under our feet. But for me this morning, that was, sure, the enemy is under my feet. The last one is not acting upon the word. Like I said this morning, that faith is a choice. The beautiful thing for me about faith is that God actually promised us this faith. So if there's anything you want to take out of this sermon is actually this one, the promise of faith. And it goes back to Hebrews 11, verse 39, that says, these, though commanded by God for their great faith, speaking about the prophets in the Old Testament, did not receive what was promised. That promise has awaited us. We receive the better thing that God has provided in these last days, so that with us our forebears might finally see the promise completed. So what this verse actually says is, in the Old Testament, in order for you to have right standing with God, you had to walk out the laws, you had to walk out the commandments to be righteous before God. And we are standing in the day and age where it's not about works, but it's about faith. Like, we have access to God with faith. They had access to God with their works, which they failed in. So we are actually standing in what they couldn't at the time stood in. That's why it says that they could finally see the promise completed. So God has completed the promise of faith. So we are standing in these last days like God has completed what he wanted when it comes to faith. So we are standing in this faith that they couldn't stand in. That, like, literally, that breaks my brain to think we are standing in the promise. It's crazy. Like, that's why you are valuable. Like, God doesn't see you as barren. He sees you as the Son of God. And he adds value on your life. Also, our salvation is through faith. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. So this morning, as you are sitting here, I don't want to ask you to come forward to, if your faith tank is low, if you're struggling to walk in faith. I actually want us to get to a point where we just open our mouths and say, I'm deciding to have faith in this, that, or whatever thing you are struggling to have faith in. Like I said last week, it's so amazing to really, and I didn't do it without the Lord, but I really just prayed and I said, like, I spoke to my mind, because the Bible says our tongue is a rudder. Whatever you speak, whatever comes out of your mouth, that will be. And if you decide this morning that you're going to walk in faith, then that will be, because that's what the Bible says. And we all believe in God, and to believe in God for me basically means, if God says this is good, either two things will happen. Like let's say this is glass, right? And it's not wood. And God says, this is wood. It will either be wood or the glass will be the new wood. Like whenever you see glass, that's wood. And that's what it means to believe in the Lord. It means to be fully convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that this is what Jesus is and this will be because he said it. So I want us to stand. Like I said, I'm not gonna do like a faith call or whatever, but I want us to really decide this morning.
I just wanna add to what Cheslin is saying here, because as he read the last verses of Hebrews 11, I read the first part of Hebrews 12, which is obviously not in the slides. You see, therefore we also, since we are surrounded. By so a great cloud of witnesses. And I just want you to turn around. Just look around you. You know, we look at the Hall of Faith as he read it. But we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We all stand here because we have a testimony of faith. We have a testimony of how God encountered our lives and how the miracles he has done. Whether you've been saved a day or whether you've been saved 40 years is irrelevant, because every day we walk with God, we see the impact of faith in a supernatural God. All of us has prayed and seen breakthrough. God has touched your life in some way, and you have a testimony of faith. And then he continues, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So this race of faith is done when we are done. When we breathe our Lord or Jesus comes to fetch us. Until that day, this faith that Cheslin is speaking about is the faith that we walk in. Without faith is it impossible to please him. We understand that. But may I encourage your faith that you are not alone. You are not alone. That is why we have the community of believers, the community of faith, is so that my faith can encourage your faith. My victories, my prayers, as I see God hear and answer my prayers, can encourage you to greater faith. So may God stir deep in our hearts faith, not just for our needs, but for a miracle working God. A God who wants to heal, who wants to save, who wants to deliver, who wants to see breakthrough every day in our lives. So may this crowd of witnesses encourage us today.